time, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. The years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
what it happened to me.
Hallelujah to Jesus, my King, my King. To rescue a sinner like me, Lord, to rescue a sinner.
Okay, 1 Timothy 6 and then Daniel 1. I'm going to make this a two-parter now. 1 Timothy 6, Daniel 1. I kind of doubt you hear this anywhere else, but 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. And then Daniel 1. Just going on a topic, an idea. And the idea is the word science. No, it's not school class. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. Okay, Timothy was a young fellow that Paul had led to Christ, and eventually he became, a pastor or whatnot. And he wrote him a couple letters, 1 and 2 Timothy's in the Bible. Titus is another character that Paul had won to Christ, and then he was a pastor. Okay, and he gives Timothy a little warning, not a little warning, it's a clear warning, chapter 6, verse 20. Right at the end of the letter, he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, but notice science falsely, so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Okay, now then, if you try Daniel 1, verse 4. The word science is found twice in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. And the one in the New Testament, the word science, is falsely called science. It's fake science. It's pseudoscience. And so in Daniel 1, this is a story of Daniel when he's like a 15-year-old kid. Living in Judah, a Babylonian army came in, three military campaigns. The first time they took Daniel and several people like him of the royal seed to Iraq, tried brainwashing them for 3 years, tried to get them to assimilate into the Iraqi culture. And so Daniel 1 verse 4, this is a comment about Daniel and his three buddies. It says, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Okay, so there's a valid one. There's the valid one, and the one in 1 Timothy is not the valid one. So Daniel was said to be the beloved. The Lord said he was beloved, and he understood science, and such as had ability and understanding in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you give us discernment and discretion, that I might be able to demonstrate the differences between science and pseudoscience, fake science. I pray you'd help us realize that this is an opposition, and so actually, we're looking at, like a coach, looking at the opposition, warning his players about certain oppositions in the other team. And that's all we're doing, is we're warning about the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Okay, you know that a lot of times when the weather's good, we go down to Purdue, spend some time down there, try to, give the gospel publicly, and the young people who are highly educated, the Purdue kids, they're not dumb. They're smart. One time I'm standing there, and it's usually a hit and run where they say something and they don't wait for the answer, like Pilate when he said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And then he walked out. And so a kid was walking by and he mocking me, and he said, "Oh, I suppose you think all these people came from two people." And I laughed right back. I suppose you think they came from a sexless amoeba. Which one's scientific? Mine is. I said a lot enough to make sure when he was running away that he got it. Okay. And so he was promoting pseudoscience. I was promoting science. Two separate things. Science, it's a subject in school. We hear about it so much. It's a major in college. I know a young man, Brett Bishop. Some of you know Brett. Went through high school, public school, college, postgraduate. Earned doctorate in biology. And you know the crazy guy still believes the Bible? How could he do that? He knew the difference between science and pseudoscience. One is in opposition to the Bible, and the other is compatible to the Bible. Science is given credit for an endless list of technologies. And you got Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson and Richard Dawkins. Oh, they worship at the feet of science. Science is so wonderful. Science, 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 science. And what they're doing is they're intermingling science with pseudoscience, and that's how they deceive people. And the thing is, we're going to separate it. When Bill Nye was down at Purdue a year or so ago, you know, Reverend Bill's here to give his education classes, folks. You pay your offering before you walk in the door. Reverend Bill. He was a comedian before he was Mr. Science Guy. Paul warned Timothy about an idea called science, but it is not science. Okay, and Daniel and his companions understood science. And I don't know how many young people, Christians, that go to the schooling, they go in believing the God, believing these things, and the professor takes pseudoscience and will hit it here and will hit it here and hit it here, and the young person doesn't discern the difference between pseudoscience and science, and they err from the faith. Some of them don't leave it totally, but they err from the faith. They commit an error. Okay, and the professor's not playing on equal ground. So often when you get in a discussion with somebody, and I find it interesting, okay, we see the word science twice in the King James Bible. All the new Bibles take it out, every single one of them. And the word experiment found once in a Bible, all the Bibles take it out. And when they are in unity against something, that makes me really get suspicious. Okay, and so Paul told Timothy that you got to beware of science falsely so-called. So I want to start in as a starting point. And often when you get in a discussion with somebody, you need to get a starting point. Some people are going to watch a football game today, and both teams have just, you know, agreed that they're going to comply with the one rule book. And then people are going to talk, watch those two opposing teams. But they have one rule book. Now, if somebody changes the rules, they rig the game, they might become New England Patriots and get away with it. Okay? And so, if they rig it, now in the back of the bulletin, if you don't have it, I got it on the back of it, is a definition, five definitions of the word science. I'm not going to read through all of them. But if you look at the five, I chose five, at least five, because, I'm kind of putting this together for a YouTube video, but I chose five so a person can't say, you just picked the one you liked. No, you can pick any of them. I do like the first one. It's the clearest one in my mind. But there are two words that are used in all five of them. One is a synonym of the word, okay, where it's not observe, it's watching. Okay, so the two words it says, and you look at number one, it's the systematic knowledge of the physical and material world gained through observation and experimentation. Okay, that one I get. The rest are pretty much similar. On number four, it has empirical evidence. That's what I used on a young man who was a witch and asked why I believed what I believed. And I told him empirical evidence. And he said, I never heard that before. I said, that's the first time for everything. Okay, and so observing and experimenting. You gain knowledge from observing and experimenting. In the experiment, you observe the results. That's what science is. Okay, now if somebody's going to stretch it, then they're cheating. You know, what gives a person a right to stretch a definition? Their opinion. Okay, so this is our definition. That's our starting ground. That's the game we're going to look at. And then we're going to see, did I gain this knowledge through observation, or did I gain it from somebody's other observation? If I gain it from somebody else's observation, that's not science. Why? Because it has to be personal. I have to, now how do I observe things? Not hard. My eyeballs, my ears, my nose, my touch, your five senses. Okay? That's how we observe things. Your sight, your hearing, your touch, your smelling. And what's the other one I'm missing? Tasting. Yeah, I forgot the mouth. That's how you observe things. Can you think of any other way that you observe things? Well, that tasted horrible. Okay, you observed it. Okay, so you're limited to your five senses. Okay, if you did not gain that knowledge through your five senses, that's not science. That's pseudoscience. It could be real science, but you just got a second hand. Okay, in the law, first-hand knowledge is evidence. First-hand knowledge. Second-hand, third-hand is what's called, what do they call second-hand, third-hand in the law? Hearsay. Only the Democrats can rely upon hearsay to impeach a president. That's what they're relying on. Get away with it. Well, maybe not. We'll see. Okay? So in the law, if it's second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand, or whatever, it's hearsay. It's not evidence. In science world, in the science classroom, if it is not first-hand observation, it is not science. You can't call it science. It has to be first-hand. So if you're reading a science textbook in school, in the textbook, it has an experiment. If you personally do the experiment and observe the results, that is science. If you just read about it, you took somebody else's example of their observation and applied to yourself. You did not gain that knowledge through science. You gained it through belief. You trusted somebody else. When you read a science textbook in school, the textbook is riddled with science and pseudoscience interwoven. When you read a history book, okay, when you read a history book, what are you doing? You're reading the opinion of the authors or the editors of an event that took place in the past. You did not observe it. I did not observe it. I had a guy in jail laugh at mock me. You think you believe in Jesus? I never saw him. And I said, well, did you ever see Abraham Lincoln? You know, if people have an attitude, I throw it right back in their face. And when I said, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. I said, did you see him? He said, I got your point. Thank you. Okay, and so it has to be firsthand in order to be valid. Science. It has to be firsthand. You have to observe it by your five senses. Okay? The second thought is this, discretion. Discretion is what aids a person to understand what is science and what is pseudoscience or fake science. Okay? Now, the discretion is very important. Discretion, it says in Proverbs 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, when knowledge is pleasant in thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Okay, discretion is knowing the difference between red light and green light. If you're colorblind, know which light's supposed to be lit. Okay, and so that's important. That keeps you safe. Discretion. Discretion is noticing the differences. That's what makes each of us unique. I'm looking out at a bunch of different looking faces. Different. We're all different. Okay, and I know some people aren't two-faced because they wouldn't be wearing the one they got if they were. And so we're all different. Okay, different hair color, some no hair color, some, you know, some hair here, some there. We're all unique. That's what makes us unique. Our fingerprints are not the same. We're unique. That's what discretion does. Okay, and so discretion will, a guy that paints cars, you know, I've painted cars and done body work. I can tell you when a car's been painted. I can see the variation in the paint. Okay, and that's what discretion does for a person. Science, true science, and the Bible are absolutely compatible. The Bible encourages us to gain knowledge by observation. That's what the Bible does. It's not intimidated by Bill Nye. Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse, they have a phobia. It's called bibliophobia. You see, all the psychologists develop all these phobias, homophobe, xenophobe, Islamic phobe. Why? That keeps them in business. But they haven't developed bibliophobe. You hold the Bible in front of them, watch their eyes go. You know, they got a phobia. They're narrow-minded bigots. I often use that at college campus to offer somebody a tract. They'll say, I say, you don't look like a bigot. Well, then take my tract and consider it.
No.
I said, okay, then you just proved to me what you were. You won't. A man who will not consider an opposing viewpoint is not confident in his own. And that's a problem they have. Okay, if the knowledge is gained through observation and experimentation, it is science, it is encouraged by the Bible. If the knowledge is gained through secondhand knowledge, it may be pseudoscience. I'm not saying it is. It may be. But you don't know until you personally demonstrate it and observe it. Then you can honestly say, I gained that through science. Okay, for example, you read your science textbooks, Bill Nye. You know, I want to kind of act this out on YouTube, you know, where his name's going to be Will Die. And then Peel deGrasse Bison. You know, I kind of like to trying to figure out how to put this out together. Okay, these all-knowing wise men who worship at the feet of science. You know, Richard Dawkins had an interview with Bill Stein, and Ben's kind of asked him, well, how did it start? Then he eventually said, well, some evolved that got to an advanced stage and started. Okay, so he believes in some God. Okay. What do they tell us? Scientists and science textbooks teach and tell us, and you may or may not know this, but they teach and tell us that the sun is traveling 483,000 miles an hour through space, with gravity holding on to all the planets. And then the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator, and it's speeding at 66,600 miles an hour around the sun as it's going throughout space. So what scientists are telling you, that as we're sitting here, we are speeding, spinning, spiraling through space. Do you feel it? Am I dizzy? Do I hear the wind? Do I hear the ether of the atmosphere going at 1,000 miles an hour? I can open my car window and put my hand out and feel it. People say, well, you don't feel the speed of the car. You're right, I don't. But if you add a second motion, spinning, now personally I've never experimented with that one, speeding and spinning, I guarantee, I know from experience, I'm going to feel the motion. Spinning and then spiraling, if you add all three of those different motions, I'm going to feel it. I guarantee, I don't want to experiment to find out. Okay, but they're saying, scientists say, you are speeding, spinning, and spiraling through space. Now, do you believe that? Am I saying they're lying? No, I'm not saying they're lying. But do you believe that? Okay, I haven't felt it, I haven't observed it, I haven't heard it. Taste and smell, I don't think that it plays in this role. So if I believe that, I cannot say it's science. If I believe that, I have to say it's a belief. I'm not lying. If I believe it, it's a belief. I'm being honest there. I haven't demonstrated. You know, a lot of people say, well, NASA. Yeah, right, They took 6 missions to the moon and all every time forgot a camera. Who would take a trip and forget a camera? They admit they're CGI. They admit that. And besides, if they took the camera, I'd like to see if it's a fisheye lens. I don't know. I've never been up there high enough to take a picture, to observe it. I've never felt it. I've never felt a 1,000-mile-an-hour crosswind when we flew down to Australia several times. Never felt that. See, I'm saying science. What I'm looking at is science, the term science. If I believe that, that's my choice. I don't think a person's an idiot to believe it. I just think that they got, they're not, they, you cannot honestly call it science. You have to say it's a belief. Why? Because you did not observe it. I did not observe it. I don't feel it right now. I mean, there are days where the wind is not even moving. The trees are still as could be. And Neil deGrasse Tyson will say that if the earth stopped spinning right now, we would all get killed. I just watched a video where he said that. How is it doing that and the wind, the trees aren't rustling? I don't know. I have no idea. I've never experimented with it. You see? And so the idea is that it's not, I have no eyewitness. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's a lie. I'm just saying I did not gain that knowledge through science. I gained that knowledge, if it's good or not, by the opinion of somebody else. Okay, you're walking in the woods. If you would, look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We lived in Colorado Springs for a couple years, 2.5 years. It's wonderful to go out into the mountains. It's wonderful to live there where you can go place where the tourists were not. And so, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 demonstrates Bible faith, which is compatible with science. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, that's faith. Then in verse 3, it says the word of God, the worlds were framed. The worlds were framed. We understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Boy, that sounds like a carpenter. Framed. Okay, now notice in the verse, you have substance and evidence. That's why I chose science and the legal realm. Okay, science is the substance, evidence is the legal realm. Okay, so we're taking a hike through the woods in a nice mountain, you know, maybe by Helen Hunt Falls up there at Colorado Springs. Okay, and here we are walking through the woods and we see a watch right by the tree. A watch. Okay, now what evidence do I have? I have a watch. I got a substance there. What is my conclusion with that? That accidentally evolved from nothing years ago, billions of years ago. Oh, nothing was existing. And boom, it became something. And then mysteriously, all these little mechanical parts got together and it became a watch. And there it was through eons of time. Well, that's what Neil deGrasse Tyson wants you to believe. You know, I had a kid, you know, down at Purdue, and he's talking about evolution. I said, that building right there, look at that building. Look at that man. 200 million years ago, that building was that small. And it became a building. Nonsense. Okay, so I got a watch. What do I know from the evidence? There was a designer. There was a creator or a maker. There was an owner. How do I know that? I know a monkey didn't do that. I know it didn't accidentally happen. I know somebody designed that watch, somebody made that watch, and somebody owned that watch. It could be one of the three, all three of the same person. It could be three separate people. And he lost it. I didn't see any of them. I have no evidence of any of them except for that watch. And so you look around at creation, don't tell me this just happened by chance. I'm not that dumb. I don't have that much faith. Okay, I believe God spoke it into existence. Okay, and so we can demonstrate things like this, except for the idea of God speaking into existence. I don't think we got that kind of power. But when you see things and you got something made, somebody made this. Somebody designed this. Somebody made this. Somebody designed that. That just did not accidentally happen. That's logical. That's science. That's compatible with the Bible. You see, now, here's what's happening as we are 6,000 years from Adam. Yeah, I think it was 6,000 years. If you run human growth rate at 50 million years, it's impossible. There'd be so many people you wouldn't know what to do with them. Our human growth rate from Noah and the three boys is almost right on target, subtracting the wars throughout the years. Run it. Run the math. Numbers don't lie. Run the math on that. Okay, so here's we are, 6,000 years, okay, from Adam. Here we are. We have four methods of deception that's being pushed down our throats constantly that claims to use science as its authority, and what it uses is fake science. Two of them began in the 1800s. Two of them have been birthed in the last decade. One of them is the evolutionary theory, okay? Came into being by a guy whose only degree was theology. Figure that out. Charlie Brown Darwin claims to use the evolutionary theory. Karl Marx used the evolutionary theory to justify the murder, and Joseph Stalin and Lenin to use that to justify the murder, because survival of the fittest, the law of the jungle, is violence. That's what that's used for. The second thing they developed in the 1800s was developed by two guys named Westcott and Hort. They developed a thing called textual criticism, criticizing the text. They call it a science. And so in the church, in the Christian colleges, in the scholarship, they have 5,000 of these manuscripts. And they're, oh, look at this manuscript. Oh, look at this one. Oh, look at this one. Oh, look at this one. I wonder which one was the original. Well, do you have the original? Nobody has the original. Oh, so you've never observed the original, just like Charles Darwin didn't observe the origination of the earth? Huh? And you're using this? See, you get two separate things. One has them in the secular realm, and one has them in the church. Fakes. Westcott and Hort admired Charles Darwin. And when Charles Darwin wrote his book, Karl Marx wrote him a letter and said he'd like to endorse his book, and Darwin said, no, I don't think I can have you do that. Now in the last two decades, or in the last decade actually, we have transgenderism. Yeah. Oh, yes. I was born a boy, but I think I'm a girl. I don't know what I am. I'm a gender fluid. That's where I is. Oh, we have science backing this up. No, you got biology that says there are two genders. Amen. Male and female. Oh, I think there's 50 of them. You could think all you want. It's nothing but your imagination. It's all you thinking the world revolves around you. That's all it's about. Okay? I mean, dogs, when they're born, I mean, when somebody has puppies, they say, ooh, wonder what this is. Ooh, wonder what this is. Ooh. Look underneath and you'll figure it out. I mean, biology, real science, says there are two genders, male and female. The transgender movement is designed to cause people to get in this me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's non-scientific. They want to use science. Oh, I was born a homosexual. No proof of that. I've read the literature. They got no proof of that. No scientific proof. It's all make-believe. And now we have climate change. Climate change. Oh, 97% of the scientists concur with climate change. It's a bunch of hogwash. It's not science. Each of these are designed to do something. The devil has brought up science, falsely so-called, and it's bringing to her. Climate change is a false science designed to usher in the new world order, because the planet's more important than the people. We need to save the planet, so you need to be giving up your rights to save the planet because of the bigger picture. That's what climate change is for. And then the transgender movement is, oh, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me. And if you are affecting my climate, then I am going to be getting in a mob scene and we're going to take you out because you are the hindering the world's planet. And the evolutionary theory will justify their killing of somebody because you just evolved from a monkey anyway. And monkeys kill monkeys in nature, and dogs kill dogs. And so for me just to kill you, I can justify myself because it's all about me. And then he'll bring in the churches through textual criticism. And the Christians will justify. All four of these are designed, actually by God, to bring in the second coming. I mean, that's what that's designed. Science, falsely so-called. Now, the thing is it's so obvious to me. If I did not, from the definition, the rules of the game is a definition. It's knowledge that I gain through observation and experimentation. I call that science. That is compatible to the Bible. And so when you see these scientists like Bill Nye, they might start off with science, and then you'll see them shift it to pseudoscience, and they'll intermingle them, and everybody's sitting with, oh, he's so wise. Bill is so smart. You know what his profession was before he was a science guy? He's a comedian. Pretty raunchy one at that. You see? And you know what Bill Nye thinks should happen to you if you don't believe in climate change? He thinks you deserve the death sentence. He has said that. Why? Transgenderism, evolutionary theory, and then he'll bring the Christians in through textual criticism. That's why Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, oppositions of science falsely, so-called. All the new Bibles take that out to hide it up. Why? Textual criticism. They're all biting into it. And it's all set. The Lord is setting these things up, ready for the rapture, second coming, tribulation. Everything is it's just gearing up as pretty as could be. God's gearing this up as pretty as can be. Just an amazing thing. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. This book has the authority, and we keep coming back to this book. Because this book is one that helps us discern. Oh yeah, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. I see you dirty dog, you. And then point that out to them. And watch them run off with their tail between their legs. You see, and so I don't mind reading anything opposition to my viewpoints. Don't mind it at all. In fact, I kind of enjoy it. Why? Because I am fully confident in this book. I am absolutely confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to see. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to take heed to that warning that Paul gave to Timothy, that we are to beware of oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Not science. Something falsely called science. Fake science. Pseudoscience. Help us to see that. And help us to be able to point that out. Help us to see that the Bible does encourage true science so that we might grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, so we might draw closer to the Creator, our Maker, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see that and honor you and love you more because of it. While heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play, the altar's open. If you'd like to use it, person might say, well, you haven't gained all your knowledge through observation. You believe the Bible. Yeah. A lot of people exercise a lot of faith on the highway. But there's times the Lord will give some evidence to it. I've taken 2 trips to Israel to want to see some of the evidence. Some of the evidence of the Bible. It's amazing how it is right there. People walk by and don't even see it. They're blind to it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people who are seeking, searching for the truth, looking at the evidence that you've given, recognizing that your book is really the only true history book. It gives the history, you give the history from your perspective, but it's a real history. You don't demonize certain men. You don't deify certain men. You just record a history of what they did and the results. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people who seek the knowledge of your word and most certainly the knowledge of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.